RadioInfluence.com.
Good evening. It is May 25th, 2018, and you are listening to the next episode of the Dark Delight podcast with Frank and Beans. Frank is back this week. No more boo track.
Oh, it was so great. You know, the best thing about this was that not only am I back, but I'm feeling better because what I missed last week, I'm like, damn, Tracy's got to go flying alone. And I kind of wanted to be in on that one. But also at the same time, I was getting sick. I had this terrible sinus infection. It's awful.
Did you have to go to the doc or did it like clear itself up?
No. Lauren and I just rolled with the punches. We were up in Maine, and I was not going to let it get me down. So I was just spraying the thieves spray. You know, you into like essential oils and all that stuff?
Actually, not as much as I wish I was. I love that stuff, though.
You can do whatever you want with thieves. You can clean a bathroom toilet, and you can spray it down your throat if you have a sore throat. You can do whatever you want with it. It's amazing.
What is it?
It's like a combination of oils, I think, but I couldn't even tell you what like all the compounds are, but it tastes, it's really, really intense. It has a numbing analgesic kind of a feel to it, but it's also just, it smells like Christmas. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things, but we got through and I've been clearing out the sinuses pretty well the last couple of days. So
you do sound a lot better than the past couple of days. So that's good. And plus the allergies, like, you know, where I'm at, they're nasty. Like my car will be coated in pollen and there's no way around that. Like you go outside, that's it. What is it like by you right now? Oh,
well, about 3 weeks ago is when all of the cars had a nice green film on them. But so thankfully I've never really been I've never really had a problem with allergies or anything like that. And Lauren asked me when we were driving up, that's when I start feeling it in my throat. And she said, do you get allergies? I said, no, I don't. But there is usually about one time a year that I'll get a week long cold. But that's usually when the seasons start changing and it goes from either spring, the winter to spring or summer to fall. As soon as that we get that first damp cold week is when I get a little bit of a cold. But it's usually not allergies based or else I'd be screwed all summer over here.
Very, very interesting.
Oh yeah, it's very interesting.
I have a hard time with season changes too. But the spring moving into like the winter moving into the spring this year was odd. It wasn't normal. It was prolonged the winter. Like, thank God we're getting.
We haven't had a spring. We haven't had a spring in New York in at least a couple of years. We go from upper 40s into 75. And it's like somebody flicks a light switch at some point in early May.
Yeah. Weird. Very weird.
That's it. But I've been getting up to date and it was such a crazy week. Not a lot of big things happened when I was gone last week, but I was keeping up with the Joneses a little bit. And as Andrew Klavan said, it was really the week that the media shamed itself, no matter what it was with the, you know, it's like they're funneling. You have especially the New York Times funneling information from our intelligence services to get out ahead of breaking news, to be able to continue the spin, as we've seen the investigation into Trump and Russia been spun so many times, whether it was about the dossier, then it was about George Papadopoulos, then it wasn't about any of that stuff. Now it goes from there was no spying, you're a conspiracy nut, to thank God we were spying because we were trying to save even Trump from the Russians. It was really a nuts. It was a nuts week in that respect. So I'm glad to be back on the horse and talking with you about stuff.
Look, they say, right? They say they're trying to save Trump from being spied on Russians, but nobody lets him know that there are supposedly Russians implanted inside of his campaign. Nobody tells him. Nobody.
That would be the simplest thing. Is like the best way that we can help Trump and his campaign is to keep the danger they're in completely secret. Completely secret.
Yeah.
Because, you know, who knows? Because obviously obviously they're waiting for somebody to finally take one of those really obviously public attempts of creating a meeting with a Russian or somebody with a Russian second cousin. You know, they're just waiting for something to happen. They didn't really care about protecting anybody. Like I said on my show on Monday night coming back, what somebody does who wants to help somebody out is exactly what Admiral Mike Rogers did. That's what someone who wants to help does. You just go and you do the right thing and you tell somebody, hey, listen, there's something wrong and you should probably move the transition headquarters and lay low for a little bit.
Not only that, but the funniest thing now in retrospect, as we're starting to get more confirmation of this stuff, is looking back at that report that came out in January of 2017 from the intelligence agencies that basically says Russians were involved in the election, right? They say in there, the NSA has a lower level of confidence that this is the case. Well, I wonder why. I wonder why the NSA has a lower level of confidence that this is the case. Thank you, Admiral Mike Rogers, because what he did in the 302s and in the about queries, I mean, raising the red flag on that. And then the report that came out in April of last year explaining the abuse of the surveillance tools that we have that had gone on. That is what required these guys to go around what they were doing in using that huge spying apparatus that's supposed to be protected to spy on Americans. They had to stop doing that. He halted the entire program because of the abuse that he found. So they had to get FISA warrants and they had to use letters and they had to use national security. They had to do other things.
It really was the bane of this cabal's existence has come down to two people in my opinion. Well, I mean, there's a lot of people working behind the scenes that want to do the right thing. But as far as the big story and the timeline, it comes down to two people. You have Admiral Mike Rogers, who seems like the only one who is willing to do the right thing and did not want to go along with what he saw happening. And then the other thing you saw was Anthony Weiner. There's two thorns in the side of this entire thing. And Anthony Weiner was just a little bit more of a fluke loser. But so much of this between the laptop and between Mike Rogers saying something's not right at the NSA, those two are really interesting figures in all this. And I hope they don't get lost once we're writing the history on this.
Yeah. And you know, Rogers went in to testify in front of Congress with Brennan and Clapper, I believe, last week. And Comey was invited but didn't go. Surprise, surprise. And now all of a sudden, I don't know if you know who it is. I get the two of them confused if it was Brennan or Clapper that came out and said that they literally affected at least 80,000 votes now after denying that there was any infiltration of our actual election systems and coming out officially and saying they didn't affect the results of the election over and over and over. Now, all of a sudden, yes, the Russians voted. The Russians caused Donald Trump to be elected.
Wait, when did this happen?
This happened yesterday, I believe. I can find it while we're talking. I'm sure that you can...
So this is the next chapter that everybody has had agreed that there was an attempt to do this, attempt to do that, that there was Russians out there looking to, put their fingers in the American electoral pie. But there was no votes changed, added or subtracted for any of the major candidates. Now, a couple of years later, where did the 80,000 number come
from?
Well,
here it is. I found the article. It's in The Hill. It was posted the day before at 8:09 a.m. Former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper writes in his new book that he has no doubt Russians swung the 2016 election to Trump. MSNBC host Rachel Maddow read it. I'll pause. You go ahead.
I can't anymore. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
And the fact that Maddow got to cover this, I just keep thinking about the night that she held up the one piece of paper that was supposed to be the nail, the final nail in the Trump tax coffin, which did nothing but prove that he paid more taxes than her own network does.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so she got the benefit of this. She read an excerpt from Clapper's new book, Facts and Fears, Hard Truths from a Life in Intelligence, during her Tuesday night show. Quote, "Of course, the Russian effort affected the outcome. Surprising even themselves, they swung the election to a Trump win. To conclude otherwise stretches logic, common sense, and credulity to the breaking point. Less than 80,000 votes in three key states swung the election. I have no doubt that more votes than that were influenced by this massive effort by the Russians."
Meanwhile, we have 11 districts or 11 counties in California that had more than 100% voting turnout.
Yeah.
And 10 out of 11 of those counties voted for Hillary Clinton. Another, on top of that, we have 100,000 illegal voters discovered in Pennsylvania. That is a state that Trump won. You have 75 electoral college votes differential between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and of course the always touted close to 3 million popular vote differential that Hillary Clinton won. What are you going to tell us about these 80,000? What are you going to tell us about these 80,000? This is so ridiculous. It's just flailing children.
It is. And you know, let's use this as a segue to talk about the If you remember, during the campaign, there was the effort by the Department of Homeland Security to get involved in the state's elections, basically offering them infrastructure support and monitoring support. We found out later that Georgia specifically, where a reality winner came from, by the way, was one of the states that was accusing the Department of Homeland Security of hacking into their voting systems. They mm-hmm. wanted to declare the United, you know, the state, the I don't know, what do you call them? Like the election systems, the voting machines, critical infrastructure, and bring them under the purview of the federal government. How dangerous is that with a runaway tyrannical federal government being in control of the voting machines? Can you imagine?
It goes beyond reason that you would say that to centralize the authority and the control over voting. I mean, here's the other thing I wanted to bring up too. Now, if you want this will tie into what you're saying about the critical infrastructure claim that DHS and Jay Johnson was putting out there leading up to 2016. If you look at what people say has been done by the Russians to affect the election, number one, they had about $100,000 budget.
Yeah.
They had $100,000 Facebook budget, most of which was spent after the election during an election season in which the loser of the 2016 election spent $1.2 billion to lose. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton spent double what Donald Trump spent, $1.2 billion record-setting campaign to lose. But they think that $100,000 Facebook ad budget was going to affect an election that was taking place over six time zones over the course of in 50 states, six time zones, all different times that voting polls are opening and closing. Do you understand the manpower and the coordination that any foreign state would need to put forth to be able to affect the election? That's why Barack Obama was telling the truth when he said there is no way that this can be affected. But so you have all that decentralization in the states and the localities, municipalities, they take care of what they want by themselves. But to centralize, that is going to make it safer. It's just, it goes beyond logic that they think that to eliminate how decentralized the voting process is and the vote tallying process is going to make things better. And then after the election, we hear that the only real election probing and hacking that was going on was being done by our own government.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
There's so many problems to fix and so much to do. It's really such a mess. It's a mess, but we know it's a mess only because we are in the position that we're in right now with Donald Trump winning. And imagine the odds that he won against. I know that, you know, you voted for Trump because of the reasons that you've stated several times, respectable reasons. A lot of people weren't on, you know, board with Trump, but couldn't imagine losing the Supreme Court to another, you know, ridiculously crazy socialist left justice. It would have been game over. For that alone, that vote was worth it. But just think about all he came up against and what he was able to accomplish. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Which kind of, you know...
Wait, what the... What was that?
What?
Oh, sorry. There's a the audio clip on my side started playing. Okay, keep going.
Which kind of leads us into this... Before we get into the article we're going to talk about here about the spies inside the Trump campaign... That point, what Donald Trump was up against and what he was able to accomplish, given all of the mechanisms against him, covert, overt, and otherwise, leads me into this Caputo thing that happened. And it's a very interesting segue, but I'll explain why. You had a chance to listen to my video on Michael Caputo, right?
Yes, I was able to listen to the entire half hour. And if you think that I walked away from that understanding what the hell I just saw, you're gravely mistaken. That was so confusing. I don't know what side he's on. I don't know what he's getting at. There's barely any mention of Russians in there. It sounds like our own government had emails that they said we were under the impression were already destroyed by the Clinton camp. So it sounds like am I getting that right? Is he saying that the United States government were coming to him through an intermediary to say that they had the Clinton emails that everybody says that the Russians were seeking or had possession? I don't get that at all.
That's the confusing part that I really did a poor job of explaining. This is what happened. So should I tell the whole story just for the listeners who might not have heard it?
Yeah, go ahead.
So basically, Michael Caputo was communications director for Donald Trump, worked with the campaign. He was there in an official capacity from early March. I get the months confused. I think it was May, early May, and left in June, in July or June. I'm sorry.
He said May 2016.
Yeah. Yeah. So he comes on board and he gets a phone call apparently from an intermediary that he knows personally who has information coming from someone inside the government that they want to get to Caputo in his capacity as working for the Trump campaign. So Michael Caputo comes out with this the other night on Tucker. I'm sorry, on Laura Ingraham's show, saying basically like there was a spy that contacted me too. And I'm waiting for my attorney to tell me it's OK and I'm going to come out with this information. So the next day he goes on with Neil Cavuto and he starts talking about what happened. And he says this person approached him. He was in Trump Tower during these conversations. He spent a lot of time outside in the hallway having these conversations with the guy. He ultimately decides that he's not going to take possession of this stuff because the news reports had just come out that Hillary Clinton had bleach bit her server and destroyed the Blackberries. And he thought that this material they were talking about was Hillary Clinton's emails that were bleach bit. That's what he thought at the time. And he said, if I take possession of that, that's classified material and I can get in trouble. Time goes on. He leaves the Trump campaign and then he still gets this contact even after he's left the campaign in July. And he says when he was testifying in front of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence and the Senate Intelligence Committee, he was asked if Russians came to him trying to give him Hillary Clinton's emails. And he said no, because it wasn't a Russian. And he forgot about the fact that he had been through this experience of many hours of conversations outside in the hallway of Donald Trump's office during the campaign. And I find that very hard to believe. But putting that aside, he then goes on to say that when he was meeting in front of Mueller a couple weeks ago, he actually brought that to him and he said, look, here's the timeline. This is when these people approached me. And Mueller says that he wasn't even interested in it at all, which I found interesting because several weeks ago when Caputo made his rounds with his legal defense fund, he specifically said in every single interview that Mueller is specifically investigating WikiLeaks, DNC leaks, and Guccifer II. Well, if that's the case, why wasn't he interested in this information? WikiLeaks comes into play at the very end of the interview when Caputo says, I was absolutely floored in October of 2016 when the WikiLeaks emails started coming out because some of the information that my intermediary told me was in this information that was trying to be passed on to me from the government was in the WikiLeaks emails. The WikiLeaks emails were Podesta's emails, not Clinton's. So he was under the impression it was going to be Clinton stuff, but it ended up, as far as what he's saying, being Podesta emails. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. It's just confusing to me as to how, A, this is not of any interest to the people who are supposed to be investigating this situation, because it seems that if this information that is being passed around should have allegedly been passed around and been pilfered and sold off or marketed by Russian assets, isn't that a point of interest, that what you're trying to determine whether or not a Russian was giving this information around, that they're not Russian and that they actually might be domestic and working side by side with you inside of the U.S. government? Why would you ignore that bit of information, or at least not put that on the record somewhere?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this whole dossier, you're talking about substantial or verifiable evidence. Nothing about this dossier was verifiable or even, you know, good enough to report on. I mean, the only reason why it got into the public sphere is because the lead that was created to put it out there in the press was that the outgoing and incoming president, incoming administrations were briefed on the pile of trash. So if that was given so much attention and that was made into such an important piece of the overall picture, then how the hell does this piece of information not even get listened to?
Yes. And that's the thing. It's that if what he's saying is true, like the next day after this interview, he came out and basically walked everything back. He said it was a big misunderstanding. That isn't what happened. I was wrong. I thought that was really weird. You just take all that stuff back the next day. And then he went on Tucker Carlson's show and he doubled down on it. So it's been a very odd experience. So let's just run through this together really quickly, because it's multifaceted. We talked about a few minutes ago how weird it is that Donald Trump was able to somehow make it through all these machinations and orchestrations and, you know, get to be, you know, at least have enough votes honestly tallied for him to become president. Well, there were good guys apparently working behind the scenes to make sure this was a fair election. What if those same good guys? Now, remember, this is May. Podesta's emails were taken in March. The latest email in the series is in March of 2016. So what is to say that this wasn't insider good guys trying to get the information out? But why would they go to the Trump campaign? That doesn't make any sense. I don't know. It's just very weird. It's like almost like Caputo accidentally outed a good guy and they're ignoring it because of that. Is that possible? I don't know.
I don't know either, because it's very odd. The entire thing is just, it doesn't make sense to me. And like I said, when I was watching it, I didn't know whether or not this paints Caputo as a good guy or a bad guy or just a bumbling idiot. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I can't forget. I can't shake it. It's too big, especially given that we know what happened in the text messages through Signal with Waldman and Warner in regards to trying to broker some kind of safe passage for Julian Assange. It's just a very tangled web that we don't have all the pieces to, you know, in an open source way yet, but I think they'll come out over time, which, you know, leads into this whole thing. How many people were planted inside the Trump campaign as spies, Frank? How many people?
I don't know. But the tally, we're starting to tally up, and it doesn't seem like the picture is even done developing. It might be more. But this Cheryl Atkinson did that great, great piece. I know that you wanted to talk about it a little bit today. I jumped on it, talking about it a little bit earlier in the week as well, because it's just so remarkable how you talk about the overall arc, the story arc here, and what one side is talking about is trying to find how there was some kind of international collusion to put Donald Trump in the White House. Whereas that has been falling apart since the get-go, because it really starts crumbling under even basic scrutiny and basic questions of the who, what, where, why, when. Whereas that has really carried almost no water and created more questions than answers. On the other side, I mean, it just seems like, how could you ever think that there was collusion to put a man in office and not collusion to try to keep a man out of office? It's ridiculous to even see. And if you read this article, it just gets more and more stark.
We'll go through the article because it's definitely good. Cheryl Atkinson, one of the good guys, she's got a great timeline on her website as well about what's gone on throughout this whole entire scheme going back all the way to 2015. But the article says it may be true that Donald Trump illegally conspired with Russia and was so good at covering it up, he's managed to outwit our best intel and media minds who have searched for irrefutable evidence for 2 years. We still await Robert Mueller's findings. But there's a growing appearance. Yeah, I know.
I know there's a little bit of sarcasm in there because it's just like no matter what side of the spectrum you're on, after 2 years, you have to ask yourself, all right, well, you know, I know that obstruction has been the big thing because collusion is just not, first of all, it's not even a crime. And second of all, where the hell is it? You know, if you say that you were in league with Vladimir Putin and since the election, American-Russian relations has not been getting any better, wouldn't you think that at some point already Vladimir Putin, who has blackmail on the United States president, would have dropped it already? I mean, where is the blackmail? Why hasn't it been dropped? Is Putin waiting for the right time? What is going to be the right time to drop all of this blackmail? And on top of all of that, you have this going on. And I mean, you know, just keep going.
No, because I want to touch on that. What you said there. Isn't it funny how, you know, how can you prove, I did a video on this too, how can you prove obstruction when you have the man who appointed the special counsel as the one who wrote the recommendation letter that Trump actually do what he did?
Well, the other thing is too that you can't obstruct an investigation for something that is completely imaginary. The other thing too is that there is no, I mean, Andrew McCabe came out right off the bat, right after James Comey's firing. And when these committees wanted to get to the bottom of whether or not there was some sort of obstruction and whether or not the firing was politically motivated to slow down, delay or block the Russia investigation, Andrew McCabe, who is as dirty as they come, said under oath that no, the investigation has not been slowed down, paused or in any way under finance. He says, I believe that the phrase he used was that the investigation has been adequately resourced. So what are you talking about obstruction? Donald Trump has let this thing go on for 2 years. He's criticized it, as is his right. But how are you going to say that there's obstruction? Why is there an obstruction? Because they haven't found anything and you're convinced that it happened? That's just delusion.
He's allowed to fire people. I think people have, you know, forgotten civics and how the government works. The executive branch is in charge of the judiciary. No.
Yes.
Okay. So he's the chief executive, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess he's allowed to fire his subordinates if he wants to.
He can fire James Comey if he didn't like the color tie he was wearing.
Yeah.
That's just pretty much what it comes down to. And the thing that, like I said before, the thing that kills me is it's starting to really seem, and we're becoming more and more obvious if it wasn't already from the beginning, that obstruction is just another term for it's impossible that the guy we are convinced is a Russian asset has not been charged with a crime at this point. And because we are so convinced that he is a criminal through and through, the only reason why we can come up with that there has been no, that he has not been doing the perp walk of his own yet is because he's obstructed something and not because the entire investigation is a farce.
Let's think of this timeline for a second. I might get my dates wrong here, but I think it's the 6th of May that the memo comes out, which will serve as one of the reasons why Donald Trump fires James Comey. A few days later, he meets with Trump meets with Rod Rosenstein. Feinstein. I always hate saying that name. He meets with him and Robert Mueller at the same time as James Comey is out leaking his memos that prove absolutely nothing to his FBI asset professor slash lawyer friend, who then leaks them to the media. And then the day after that meeting, Mueller is appointed the special counsel. Now, the guys for Trump meeting with, you know, Mueller and Rosenstein, is that they're looking at him for FBI director, which is near impossible. You know, Mueller's FBI term was extended once prior under Barack Obama. They had to pass legislation to do it. And basically everybody on a bipartisan basis said this will never happen again. So I don't think that they were meeting for FBI director. We still don't know why. What I find interesting about this timeline is that Joe DiGenova comes out and he talks about this meeting, but he never mentions that Trump is involved in it. It's a 4-hour long meeting. There is no Sessions involved because he's recused himself from anything Trump-Russia related. What are they talking about the day before the special counsel gets, you know, appointed?
Great question.
What are they talking about in that meeting? And why does it line up so perfectly with what Comey's doing? Questions I still can't answer, but really feed into this whole obstruction nonsense. I mean, the man who appointed the special counsel to apparently take over this counterintelligence investigation that had been going on for a year under James Comey, that recommends he gets fired because of the way he handled the Clinton email investigation, is then investigating Trump for obstruction when he was it just doesn't, none of it makes any sense.
Mm-mm. No, I agree.
It's just crazy. So, hey, let's go on with the article. Here are 8 signs pointing to a counterintelligence operation deployed against Trump for political reasons. The operation reportedly had one code name leaked to the New York Times: Crossfire Hurricane. These guys are cheesy.
I've always hated that name from the moment I heard it. I hate it. I said it before. It sounds like a couple of, you know, these, you know, when you're a kid and you're nerdy and you start learning about how cool James Bond is and, you know, the spy craft, and you're on a secret mission somewhere in a foreign land, you're behind enemy lines, and you come up with a really cool operation, and it's Operation So-and-So and Crossfire Hurricane. Oh my God. This sounds like the nerdy kids grew up and they say, hey, it's our time now. We can make up our own operation name. And they came up with that crap.
This would be Strzok, Peter Strzok, I believe, that came up with the name. So she says something really bold here, and I talked about this a little bit last, you know, during the week. Secret surveillance was conducted on no fewer than 7 Trump associates. And we should go through some of these guys and talk about them. Steve Bannon, Michael Cohen, General Flynn, Jared Kushner, Paul Manafort, Carter Page, and George Papadopoulos. Of those 7, 1, 2, 3 are indicted right now.
Yep.
And Michael Cohen's teetering on being the 4th. I don't know about Michael Cohen. I'm not sold on him. Good guy, bad guy. What is your gut instinct about Michael Cohen? We'll start with him.
I don't know. I just see his face and I think his face is stupid and I don't know. He's just got a stupid looking face and it's just whatever it is. It's of no I believe it's of no real consequence. And it's just another, they're trying everything. There's a couple of different efforts going on right now to try to bring down the administration. And I think that the whole Stormy Daniels thing, Michael Cohen, money, retainers and campaign finance, I think it's just ridiculous. Because it falls on the same scale as the claims about Russian influence on Facebook with $100,000 budget across, that's supposed to affect 50 states across 6 time zones, 320 million people, and the electoral college process. So on the face of it, I'm just like, if this was, I mean, you look at all of the different schemes and plots that seem to be overlapping each other and working into each other. On the other hand, you have exoneration of certain people. You have the almost what seems to be an international intelligence operation sharing information that there's actually no there's no intelligence on these ECs. There's no intelligence coming in from Five Eyes. There's really nothing in the Comey memos that would ever warrant a special counsel, but they were launched anyway. The dossier is nonsense. The source of the dossier and how it originated was completely ignored multiple times to keep surveillance warrants going and the unmasking that was going on to just create more and more of a feeling like these people who were tied in with Donald Trump were also working with foreign agents to work against American interests. So you look at all of those things that were going on and all of those schemes that were working together that were kind of mutually exclusive, but all working toward the benefit of one thing, to destroy or at one point prevent a person from coming into office that they did not approve of. And then you go on the other side and you look at Michael Cohen and you look at the menial amounts of money that they're talking about. You're looking at porn stars. And I almost feel like I don't know if this guy was crooked or not. All I know is that it's just such small beans that how the hell could that have ever been a scheme or a part of a plan to overtake a national election? Maybe Michael Cohen could have been a player if Donald Trump wanted to run and try to find a way to slip into the mayor's mansion in New York City. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple of $100,000 and pulling some strings could have gotten him into the mayor's mansion in New York City. But to win the presidency through it just doesn't make sense to me. I feel like it's a waste of time to even talk about this dumb face.
You know, it's funny because I think at the end of this, we'll find out that Donald Trump is probably the least criminal person on the face of the earth.
Here's the thing. When you say something like that, something inside of me always, because I feel the same way in many ways, but something inside of me, whenever I either agree to something like that you just said, or I make a statement similar to that myself, something inside of me kind of winces because on the outside, I hear myself objectively too. And I say to myself, wow, you sound like a Donald Trump fanboy. When all I really care about is the restoration of a constitutional republic. And I know that beyond 2028, or 2024, there's going to be no Donald Trump no matter what. So it's not like I'm rooting for a new king like a lot of people believe the Obamas were, the royal family. And but at the same time, putting all that aside, putting aside the fact how he conducts himself publicly and makes himself a very easily attackable character, I really do believe that there's so much, the only validity as to why people believe that he might be a corrupt individual is just because of his bluster. You know, he makes himself an easily attackable person. But aside from that, I agree with you. I really don't see how this was this kind of a scheme, why he would take himself away from a lucrative reality TV career, a career in which that he had in the palm of his hand, he had been milking for a long time and he worked perfectly. Real estate development all over the world, why he would pull himself away from that to embroil himself into a criminal operation to overtake the White House.
Yeah,
I don't understand why he would do that. It defies common sense.
It does. Logic, Occam's razor, right? I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I think that they're investigating him in so many, and if you got to remember too, before I get back to Cohen, because there are a couple of things I want to point out. They Fusion GPS dug into this man for a year and weren't able to find anything untoward or illicit about his business deals that they could actually use. I mean, this is a high powered, you know, insider connected opposition research firm involved in some of the biggest scandals in global international, you know, global politics, the Magnitsky Act. And they had people all over the world looking for dirt on Donald Trump. And what did they come out with? Like nothing, basically.
Yeah.
After all that, they couldn't even find one single business tie to Russia. And they said, that's really weird. We have to investigate this more. Yeah. Okay. Whatever you say, guys, it's pretty crazy. I'm just, what we're living through is going to go down in history as,
you know, I would like to point out that the reason why this is happening is because there is an assumption that is being worked off of, and that is that there is no possible way, still at this point, there is no possible way that we could explain why this would be a reality without any outside help, because the worldview that the political left in this country have put forward is the basis from which we are still operating. We're still playing by their rules. The conversation is still based on their foundation. Sure, it's being questioned now, but it's still, we're playing by their rules. And I would love it. I mean, Andrew Klavan put out a great, great episode last night with Mike Rowe that I think everybody should give a listen to, because he talks about, I mean, he used the allegory of the NFL protest, but pretty much what he did was he's talking about the assumptions that we operate on and surrendering the narrative to people and debating on the playing field of one person's point of view on the world, how it is and how what normalcy is. And I think that ties into these investigations as well. You just said it before. Oh, my God, we've found no ties of significance anywhere. That must mean that we haven't dug deep enough, because we know underneath all of this that we are right and there's no way that we are wrong.
Yeah, it's crazy, because even from what you're saying, from a culture standpoint, because the political left, the establishment, still has control over the mainstream media to a very large degree, they gaslight people into thinking that we knew this the entire time, that there was a spy inside the Trump campaign or 7 or 8, and that we knew this the entire time and we're crazy for thinking that it could be something nefarious. They were just trying to help. It's sick. It is sick what they're doing. They have to come out and admit it, because they know it's going to come out. And instead of just admitting it, they use it to gaslight people into thinking that we had been talking about this the entire time. Meanwhile, you look back months ago when they were calling us all crazy conspiracy theorists for even surmising that somehow Papadopoulos was involved with someone who was a spy or was a spy himself. Yep. It's an insane world. I really feel like they give Stormy Daniels the key to the city. I feel like there's some man upstairs pushing buttons to see what happens if he pushes this lever, if he pulls it down, what's going to happen next? What are these people going to do? Oops, that was a mistake. Let me flick that one back up. That's what it feels like. We're in the Matrix and somebody's programmed this.
And also think about this too. If you watch what the media does too, and this is to say that the media is separate from the Democrat Party, that it's separate from even the intelligence community at this point is naive. But if you watch what happens, if this whole Russia thing, and if all of the crimes that they're trying to either reverse engineer and bring to the fore and all that stuff, if all that is real and they know that there is legitimacy there, then explain to me why every time the president makes a statement in front of the cameras, something that is real, something you can actually respond to, you can report on, because there is evidence that it happened in reality. If the president says something about the NFL protest, for example, he says, well, maybe these people shouldn't be, in the league or in the country or something like that. Now, would I have said that? Absolutely not. There's other ways to articulate your position, but he went that far, and I don't think it was very smart. But that is something that it will be harped on, and it will be they will stick with that for weeks, because that they wait. They had this underlying foundation of fantasy that they'll continue going until reality produces something they can actually leech on like a vampire bat. So that's exactly what's going on. I mean, you see, if there was really an investigation here that was leading to a conclusion that President Trump was involved in something that was 5 times bigger than Watergate, in the way that he actually stole an election along with a foreign body and a collection of people who are working with foreign entities. If that was a real thing and you were hot on the heels of that story, why would you ever take weeks long breaks on that to talk about frivolous social media antics? Why would you ever do that? Because they're just trying to patchwork this along.
Yeah, they are. As a matter of fact, that brought up a really funny thread that I'll go through with you real quick, even though we're on a little tangent here. It was from somebody named Neon Taster on Twitter. It was at Neon Taster. And he tweets out and he says, Trump tweet, just had some hummus, delicious. And then he says, Jen Rubin column, why I no longer love hummus. Max Boot column, why Trump's love of hummus spells disaster for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Krasenstein tweet, boycott all hummus, retweet if you agree. Eric Garland tweet, I will burn your chickpea fields to ash. Louise Mensch tweet, hummus is Russian. The Woman's March tweet, Trump loving hummus is cultural appropriation and also sexist to generations of Arab women who slaved over a hot stove to make hummus for their family. It's good. Seth Abramson tweet, it's time for some background on the Kremlin and hummus, one of 573. Ben Rhodes, Javad Zarif and I had hummus in Vienna once, and he goes on and on. And then people just started piling on with it. Like I put it, Brian Williams won, and then the rebels handed me hummus from the fields of, you know.
Or Hillary Clinton. I was under hummus sniper fire. But you know, and that is great satire right there. But let's think about the reality. The reality is they dedicated at least a week to how many cans of Coke he drinks. The reality is they dedicated significant airtime to why he eats a Kentucky Fried Chicken with a fork and a knife.
Or two scoops of ice cream.
Two scoops of ice cream. This is reality. But it used to be comedy. And it's, yeah.
So why are they focusing all their time on things like that when they can go after the biggest criminal, treason, you know, wielding criminal in the history of the world who stole the presidency with collusion for the Russians? I get your point.
Occam's razor.
Perfect. I was going to talk about Cohen and his ties to Michael Sater or Felix Sater, but that just doesn't seem as cool as what we're talking about now.
No, I mean, I don't think that it's complete nonsense. Every piece completes the puzzle, but you know, like
there were people that we found out were connected to this thing who all of them had some kind of intelligence contact. Somehow they were intelligence assets. They were undercover. Carter Page, Felix Sater, Paul Manafort. Now we're learning, you know, about Halper and Mifsud, and they were all somehow connected to the intelligence community. And it's like you could never write something like this. Mm-hmm. You couldn't write this if you wanted to. I know it sounds cliche, but it's true. Think about it.
I'll put it to you this way. Homeland. I'm a fan of Homeland. I mean, it was at its peak around season 3 or something like that. Once Brody died, it was just like, all right, well. But then, it had a little bit of a resurgence. I liked season 5 and all that. This last season was so bad, I lost interest. I mean, I haven't finished it, and maybe I should just do it and whatever. But they tried to do this whole Russian thing. They used fake news. They actually used the phrase. They're tried to do a lot of things by drawing from reality. And what I found was that not only that reality was so much more, it made the show actually paled in comparison to reality, because they're just trying to take little sniffs of what was actually real to create this fiction that was supposed to be entertaining. But the problem was that the fiction that they were creating, it was convoluted and just watered down from the more compelling story that is real. And it's so you say you can't write this stuff. It's true. I mean, because what is happening in front of us right now and what we're living through is actually real. And the stories that people can actually try to put together that are derivative of the reality that we're in right now would only be a degraded version of reality. You can't actually match or outdo what is real right now and put it into a fiction, because you can't do it.
I think that a few years ago, if this as a fiction would have come out, people would have said, this is ridiculous. There's no way. Like, people wouldn't have appreciated it or liked it because it was so crazy. What's happening right now is absolute insanity. I can't even believe. And you wonder, like, has this ever happened before? And how many times, if it has, and when? And you know, how long was it going to go on without somebody, anybody, stepping up and doing the right thing? it's crazy what kind of a banana republic it appears we've been living through for the past God knows how many years. And geez, I just can't believe it. I really can't. And you know, some of the things they're talking about in the mainstream now, we were talking about, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and people thought we were nuts. That's the biggest vindication for me, is when some people say, Tracy, I thought you were crazy, but you are. Like that quote about conspiracy theories, like they're only conspiracy theories until they're true, or, yeah, you know, whatever. Cheryl Atkinson continues in this piece. The FBI applied for a secret warrant in June 2016 to monitor Manafort, Page, Papadopoulos, and Flynn. If this is true, it means the FBI targeted Flynn 6 months before his much-debated conversation with Russia's ambassador, Sergei Kislyak, which was approved of by the Obama administration. But let's not leave that little detail in there so people can understand what actually happened. We'll take that out and just make him out to be a horrible person. Poor Michael Flynn. Speaking of which, this morning, his account tweeted out a very interesting photo. Did you see it, Frank?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
He tweeted out a picture of Weinstein sitting next to Clinton and Huma Abedin, and it said DGFFFCF. And then a little while later, it was deleted, and Mike Flynn Jr. came out and said his Twitter was hacked.
I saw the hacking. Actually, I think that's what really called my attention to it in the first place, was the hacking of it all. That said, hey, this was hacked. I said, well, it was hacked. And then, boom, I saw the archived image of it. I thought that was pretty interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
it's almost like a much bigger cafe.
did you catch the Laurel and Yanny video the White House did?
I don't know anything about this Laurel and Yanny stuff. I see people talking about it, and I just got away. I can't look at it.
You got it.
All right. Well, tell me,
please. It's like the blue dress. Okay. It's one of those things that went viral. There's like a frequency or something and sound that if you play it, certain people's ears pick up the word Laurel and certain people's ears pick up the word Yanny. And each one of them are very, very firm in their belief that they're hearing.
Can you play it for me right now?
You won't hear it.
I won't?
No.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Where can I find it right now?
Hold on. Let's just hold on one sec. All right, I pulled up the clip. We kind of took a side there, but I pulled up the clip, and it's going to be really low for you guys at home, but it's okay. This is just for an experiment for Frank here. So let's play it. Ready?
Yeah.
Laurel.
What do you hear?
What am I supposed to hear?
Do you hear Laurel or Yanny? Yeah.
There is such a difference between Laurel and Yanny.
Yeah.
It's just like, is it Laurel or is it Boral? Of course it's Laurel.
Okay, it's Laurel. But my husband swears it's Yanny. Swears.
What does that mean?
He hears Yanny. He hears Yanny.
Is this like the auditory version of colorblindness,
yes,
or something?
I guess so. I mean, I'm in Camp Laurel with you, but people hear Yanny.
Wow.
People hear Yanny. And so they did. Look, I think they're crazy too, Frank, between me and you. The Yanny people, I think they're from another planet or something, but they do. They hear Yanny.
So MKUltra.
Maybe. So basically the White House did their own version of it where, you know, everybody, it was like a 1 minute clip and they walked around to everyone and said, here, listen to this. What do you hear? And everyone had like a little quip. Kellyanne Conway said, I can pivot to Yanny if you need me to. And, you know, Sarah Sanders said, you must be listening to fake news. I hear Yanny or Laurel, whatever she heard. And then at the end, they go to President Trump and they ask him Laurel Yanny. And he says, I hear Kafef.
Kafefe.
Yeah.
That's it. I hear Russia. Russia.
Look, it was great. It was just classic Trump. It was fantastic. He was just poking fun at himself. It was so funny. You said Kafefe, and I thought of that, you know.
Well, I'm glad you introduced me, because I've seen this Laurel and Yanny thing happening on like the periphery. I really have not even looked into it.
My mom comes up to me and she goes, Laurel or Yanny? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
The gold dress, black dress thing?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And then I seriously was hysterical debating with my husband about it, because he was like we are about Laurel. He was like, how do you hear Laurel? They're completely different from one another. It's obviously Yanny. You're just messing with me. I'm like, I don't hear Yanny.
I mean, it's a difference between, I know that Y is not a vowel, but it has a vowel sound to it. It's like it's an open sound, whereas Laurel is just full of consonants. I mean, it's just two different type of...
It's the frequency that your ear detects in the way the sound is played is what it is.
So if I went up to somebody and said, hi, my name is, Stan Laurel. And they
would hear Stan Yanny.
It is, say, Stan Lanny. Stan Yanny. Yes. Yes. Oh,
nice. No, I think it's just this recording and how they.
It's like, who are you? Have Yanny and Hardy? Is that what everybody's listening to? Is that it? The famous the comedy duo from the 1920s?
My name is Laurel. Hi, Yanny. No, I said Laurel. Hi, Yanny.
I love it. Yanny and Hardy. There you go. March of Soldiers.
There was a meme floating around, too, where it came out and it was Yanny. And he said, I'm officially changing my name to Laurel.
Laurel. He's become relevant again.
This is genuine laughter here. I just picturing somebody walk up to someone and say, okay, keep going. Say something.
That's it. Well, nice to meet you.
This is really bad. I get sidetracked off a really stupid joke sometimes, and I just will go hysterical on them. This is one of those times. All right, back to the Spygate scandal.
Yeah, I don't care. This is my idea of good broadcast. Anyway, just let it go.
The FBI. Okay, the FBI applied four times to wiretap Page after he became a Trump campaign advisor starting in July 2016. Page's office is connected to Trump Tower, and he reports having spent many hours in Trump Tower. Quickly, we have 4 minutes or so left, but I just want to say, R.R. Rod, Roddy Boy, Assistant Attorney General, he approved the last FISA warrant in July of 2017. Now, there is some speculation out there that he could have approved that warrant as like sort of a reverse counterintelligence operation. Like, we figured this all out. Now let's use this FISA warrant to spy on the people that originated this spying using Carter Page as the subject.
Okay.
Do you see how that would work?
Who's been floating that? I haven't actually seen that anywhere.
A bunch of different people on the internet, and it's gaining steam. One of the people is this account called Know It All on Twitter. He's very rough around the edges and not very nice, but he has some really good theories. And I've been reading him and seeing some of the stuff he's saying. It makes sense. I mean, if we know, like, July, I mean, you know, this was well into the Trump administration at this point, and he's reapproving FISA warrants on Carter Page. That would be, you think that, you know, to believe that some of this stuff is going on and that all of this is happening and that Rod is a bad guy, you'd have to believe that Trump is a moron who has absolutely no idea what's happening in his administration.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why didn't he fire the dude?
Yeah. And still, still for so long, the consensus was that this dossier was unsubstantiated into 2017.
It's still unsubstantiated.
Yeah, and there's still a FISA court judge said it kept approving these things based on it.
Yeah. And that's the crazy thing. That's the crazy thing.
Makes you wonder, are the judges in on it or are the judges being lied to? Either way, it does not reflect nicely on the whole system.
Why don't we just get rid of FISA altogether and give the American people their liberty back and be done with
that? How about that? Fourth Amendment. How about the Fourth Amendment again? How about everybody just, you know, bring your evidence to a judge and get a warrant again? I don't know why this needs to be done. It's ridiculous.
It's a big deal. Well, we're actually, this is going to close out the show, Frank. I'm glad you were back this week. This was a fantastic time. You guys, you can listen to Dark to Light with Frank and Beans on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and on RadioInfluence.com. Frank, any parting words for our friends?
Oh, have a great weekend. Happy Memorial Day. It's a very solemn event, and I've been loving these holidays more and more. So just enjoy your weekend. Tracy, I hope you and the family have a good one. And I can't wait for next week.
Amen. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks to everybody that sacrificed the ultimate sacrifice, and we'll be thinking about you on Monday. Have a great weekend, guys.
This is a Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
There's a war going on, and I'm not talking Afghanistan. I'm not talking North Korea. I'm not talking Vietnam. There's a war going on right here in this country, in communities, on corners, in blocks, all around this country. And the war is against police. 26 police officers this year. And we're only in month five. 26 police officers dead and gone. No one knows their names, but if the roles were reversed, everybody would know their name. Everybody would have a t-shirt. Everybody would be hashtagging. Who's hashtagging this Baltimore County police officer?
Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.